welcome to Living and Loving Life. I'm Preston Swanson, and this is my lovely mom, Marianne.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us again.
And we have an awesome show called The Power of Color to Transform Your Life, a special show just for our very special guest. Now, our guest has a passion for color, and it's her expertise. And she combines her skills of counseling with her unique color therapy skills to make a mix that's so powerful can de-stress your life, or when taken deeper, can bring transformational changes in your life. Please give a warm and wonderful welcome to Arlene Arnold. Hi, Arnold. Arlene.
How are you? This is Arlene.
Yes, Arlene. So how are you doing?
Good. I'm doing great.
Good to stay here. Isn't it a wonderful time to be on this planet?
It is.
Yeah. That's funny. Before I was getting ready to do the show, I put on a really bright blue shirt because I'm like, oh, we're doing a show about color. Why not have a really pretty color on?
There you go.
Yeah. So, first of all, Arlene, I'm sorry. We know someone whose name's Arnold as well. So,
I'm both.
Okay. How did you get started using color?
Well, I've always been interested in color, and I was something, not a real artist, but doing some things like that when I was younger. But later on in life, I discovered a wonderful woman who became a mentor for me, and I studied with her for 2 years to be a healing facilitator and spiritual guide. And one of the things that we did as part of that training program was to sample many healing modalities, and color was one of them. And that was the point at which I began to realize that that was part of my life work. And as I learned more and more about color, I kept wondering why more hadn't been done with that. And eventually then began to create the color cards that I use today and also the color techniques. So it was sort of a gradual process, but it's one of those things that most people experience that at some point in their life, it seems like it's synchronistic, but, you know, it's meant to come along, and all of a sudden you know that's it.
You just know.
Yeah, exactly.
You can just feel it.
Yep. It's your bliss. So why does color affect us so powerfully?
Well, one of the things we all know is that everything is vibration. You know, we think that the chair in front of us is hard, but it's actually mostly space, and it's moving. And one of the things that I learned early on is that when we have emotions that are coming back over and over again that are obsessive or that seem to take us over, or those thoughts that go around and around in our head like a rat in a cage, that itself is energy, and it's energy in motion. And color is energy in motion, and just like the rainbow that we see in the sky, our energy field is a rainbow of color. And when that color is not vibrating properly, then that is one of the indications that we have something stuck in our field, that the vibration is not moving through us properly. And what I found is that using colors in complements, that's colors that are across from each other on the color wheel.
Okay.
The colors affect each other, and they affect the energy centers in the body in such a way that they can help restore the flow. So it's like color becomes one of the ways, and there are many. You know, music can be that. People use flower essences or different ways to use smell. It's like thought. Their new thought can help you shift your vibration. Well, color is one way to do that. And what we're doing with color is to help us get back into that flow that is the natural state of being, because as we know, when we're in the flow, we get to be healthy and we get to feel good about life.
That's right.
So, that's how I use color as a way, as we all do, all of those who are doing alternative kinds of healing processes. What we're trying to do is to support health that is already ours and just come back into the balance inside.
Wow. So you talk about these tools that can affect your life.
Right.
Can people use these tools for themselves, or do they need a practitioner involved?
Well, what I've found is, you know, some of the things that I've developed, many of the people that I that have bought my tools, like the color cards, use these themselves, and some of them use them daily. And what they do is, what you can do with the color cards is to ask a question or to focus on a certain part of your life. And when you pull the card, you go to that color in the book, and then you look at the different sections under that color, and something will pop out at you because your intuition will tell you what it is that you need to know that day. So many people use this as a tool on their own. But what I've found is that when we're working with what we might call core issues, these are things that go really deep, and it's the place that we get caught in an emotion. And it, to me, it's almost like we're under a spell. And when we have to break that, sometimes we need help with that. In fact, usually we do. And sometimes you can do that because you've got a friend you can call and you can work it through with that friend or whatever. But in using the color tools, I feel like there's lots of stuff we can do on our own. But there are other places where we need to have a practitioner. We need to have someone take us deeper.
Yeah. For someone to help, you know, with the guide, be like a guideline.
Right. And you know, Preston, in your work, that much of what you're doing, people already know. It's just like they have to be reminded.
Exactly, a refresher course.
Yeah, you and I have to be reminded every day. We go, oh, yeah, that's right, I know that.
Uh-huh.
But you get lost in the whatever it is that's the issue at that moment, and you need to be brought back. Well, the tools can do that, but also being with someone who's a practitioner can really snap you back pretty fast. And what I find is when we work together, it's like our energies, it's like, two energies are far more than two individual energies, you know.
Right.
But when we put our intuition together or when we put our energies together, it's like answers come so much faster.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's that two or more together, and that's the powerful, you know, energy that comes together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we're always working with those who are from the unseen world that are here to help us. And when we focus and open ourselves to that, that speaks to us. And, you know, in one of the tools that I have, it's called Luminaries, and these are cards that are ones that take us into the world we're moving into, which is a really high vibration. And each of those is an art piece, and the art piece has its own sense of being. So it's like when Lorinda, who's the artist, did this, and when I was working with the information about it, it was as if I could speak to this vibration, this art piece represented something. And so, you know, I feel like we really have the ability to focus in and get a lot of help when we're willing to take the time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I totally agree. So do you ever suggest certain colors for people's, like, rooms or offices when you're working with them?
You know, one of the things that I found is that a lot of times people's intuition will tell them what it is that they need at the time. But if you know a little bit about color, it's so interesting because you begin to realize why you're drawn to a certain color. And, you know, it's always helpful when you have information about that because it's sort of like, It feeds you in a different way. It helps you to shift. And I'll give you an example of this. I was in a bank one day, and this woman had on this beautiful yellow suit. And I commented on the suit, and she thanked me. And then I said, do you know what yellow means? And she said, no. And I said, well, yellow is about being very clear, feeling really good about who you are and what your abilities are and what you're able to do. And just feel very empowered. And she said, wow, she said, that really is interesting because I just came through a period of time where I had cancer and I've gone through all the different things to be done with the cancer, and I was told that it wasn't there any longer, and I was impelled to go out and buy this yellow suit.
Wow.
Wow.
And so,
empowerment.
You know, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that was her way of celebrating, of seeing how clear she was, how much more empowered she was. And you and I know that many times illnesses, when we've gone through it, we come out a different person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So you know, from that point of view, it's interesting to know, and that's one of the ways people use my book is to look colors up that they're attracted to. Like you said, you had blue on, Preston. What color, what kind of blue?
Light blue.
A light blue. Is it like a sky blue?
Yeah, it's like a sky blue.
Does it have any kind of aqua shade to it?
No.
Okay, so it's a light blue.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so a light blue, blue is always about our ability to express ourselves, and expression can be in many different directions. But because it's the light blue, it has a lot of white in it. So I would say it's your connection with that divine spirit and at the same time the kind of communication that comes across so it's not pushing. It's like it's very flowing, and it's very helping people feel comfortable kind of thing.
Wow.
Wow.
That's cool. This is interesting. So what about, like, a deep, what would you call this? A deep blue and then, like, an indigo blue?
Indigo blue. Okay.
Yeah.
Indigo blue is a really, really high vibration. I work with several levels of color, and there are certain ones that are the energy centers in the body, and then there are other ones that are in what we call the subtle bodies, which are outside of the physical body. And I find that the indigo, some people think it's in the physical body, but I find that it's kind of a crossover color. It's more out further in the subtle bodies. And the indigo, for me, is really about tapping into a wisdom that comes through from the ages. It's like you can tap into information that is from other universes, mm-hmm. from other lifetimes, from, you know, it's like you can just move most any place and gain what it is that you want. And a lot of times people, the indigo means that they bring abilities with them from other lifetimes that they can use here. But sometimes we're really afraid of that. And the place I find that indigo in the body is at the base of the skull and the back of the neck. You know, lots of people have a lot of pain in that area. And they get headaches right at the back of the neck and at the base of the skull. And I think that's because they are avoiding what they know, avoiding that wisdom, because either there was something painful about knowing that information, or because they're afraid to move into it because it might require them to pay attention to something in this lifetime that seems bigger than what they can handle, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Responsibilities.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've got a question.
Okay.
So does the colors that we put on our body, for instance, clothes and stuff, does it really affect how we feel and our outlook on the day?
Well, let me ask you this. When you wear a certain thing and you start out the door and then you go, oh, my gosh, I cannot wear this today, and you go back and you change,
uh-huh.
that you feel a certain way, right?
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm, definitely.
So the vibration of that color is not right for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wore that, which is part of what sometimes we do, is we don't pay attention to that intuition that says this isn't the right vibration for you today, and you walk away from it, you're going to be uncomfortable the whole day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot
now,
of sense.
One of the things that I've discovered is that some people can handle colors in ways that other people can't.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the color red is not a color that I would think you would want to have anywhere where you were sleeping. But my daughter, who doesn't really understand all the work that I do, bought red sheets for my grandson.
Oh,
and I'm going, oh my gosh, what? Would you,
I couldn't say much.
Yeah.
But anyway, my grandson loves bright colors, and you know, he is such a heartfelt young man.
Mm-hmm.
And when he sleeps, I mean, it's the sleep of the dead. You cannot wake him. And that red, for whatever reason, was good for him. He sleeps just fine in red sheets. And somehow my daughter, her intuition knew that that was a good color for him. Well, when I work with the complementary colors, green and red are complements to each other. So maybe somehow that just went with this beautiful heart that he has. I don't know.
Maybe he has a beautiful green aura, and so...
Yeah, you know, so for him, that was okay.
Hmm.
I couldn't sleep in red because I'm an Aries, and I think Aries have all red and lots of it. I need something to calm me down.
Yeah.
Calm and center.
Exactly.
Yes. Like a really pretty green or something.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. May I ask about another color?
Sure.
Okay. What about light green, like bright green?
Light green?
Bright green.
Bright green. Okay, well, there's Christmas green and Christmas red go together.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones I was just talking about. That's like the vitality of your physical being is in the first energy center that connects us here to the earth, to the vitality in the earth. And then the green is the color of the heart. So one of the things that happens, and this is what I teach in this color training course, is how to work with those colors together. Because the green of the heart, when it's flowing and it's beautiful and it's there, you know, the heart is our connection to the deepest part of who we are. So in a way, it's like connection to the soul. But when that color is stopped up so that it's not flowing and people are not receiving this love for the heart, they're not feeling the openness of the heart, then you got people who go into envy and they have a sense of being alone and this kind of thing. And so, you know, I think Christmas is such an interesting way to look at color because when you put red and green together, Christmas can be the most amazing time.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people who get really unhappy at Christmas time.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is because they go into frustration and anger, and that's part of red when red is cut off from the heart. So you know, if you move the red from that vitality center of the base of the spine and that goes down in the legs and that, and when you move that up into the heart, it becomes passion. It becomes, wow, this life is great, you know. But when it's cut off and you're in sort of survival and you're going, I don't have the money that I want to buy for gifts, you know, or I overspent and I'm gonna have to pay off my credit card.
Right.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or there's so much to do, how am I ever going to get it all done? And there's nobody here to help me. And
overwhelmed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just overwhelmed. And so that can be part of the red, too.
Hmm.
Well, in the heart, one of the things that can happen is the person who has a big heart just gives and gives and gives and gives, and the back of their heart isn't open, so they're not receiving.
Mm.
So then they're going, well, nobody appreciates what I do.
Uh-huh.
You know, I spend so much time, and women in particular do this, you know, and I cooked all the food, and I got the house ready, and I did all this, and these people just don't appreciate me. And, you know, they come to the end of the holidays and go, I didn't even enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know,
because
I think if we understand this kind of thing, we can create a balance in our life. And that balance and that flow connects us both to the humanness of who we are, which we need, because we need the vitality, you know, but also connects us to that place where we know there's more to it than that, and that we don't have to do it all ourselves. You know,
hallelujah.
That there are people around us that can help us, and there's lots of help beyond here, and, you know, we're not alone.
Yeah. Woohoo!
Yeah.
So, now what about, like you said, some people can handle some colors and some people can't. Are there some people who just like boring colors? Not only boring colors, but
safe
colors. Neutrals.
Beige.
Lots of neutrals,
like,
you know?
Beige or something.
Beige and
There could be several reasons for that. Sometimes the person perhaps has so much color in them that in their surroundings they need something that's a little calmer.
Oh.
And, you know, it's very interesting because I moved and I came to the home that I'm living in, belonged to friends of my daughter, and I came into the house and it was painted colors that I would not normally think about painting.
Bright colors?
No, they're beige. It's a beige and it's a muted green, you know.
Yeah.
And in my other house, I had a beautiful yellow and... I painted one of the walls was lime green, because lime green was one of the ones that I was working with. You know?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and so I come into this house and I thought, man, this feels so restful. You know, I could live here. So there was a sense in which somebody else's choices helped me to see something that was really helpful for me, even though I wouldn't have thought of that.
Right, because you're not
painting it those colors. Yeah.
Wow.
But it's just because I work with so much color and so much energy.
Right.
That my surroundings, now I realize they need to have that more muted color to help me be able to stay and not go too fast, you know, and to just be more relaxed.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Go ahead.
I think I wouldn't feel very comfortable if I had a bright blue room or a bright neon pink room, you know?
Yeah, you wouldn't want to have that as a bedroom.
No, as a bedroom.
You know, someplace where you wanted to go just to kind of amp up.
Like,
think about this, Preston.
Hmm.
If you had a room that had... let's say a bright blue in it. If you put orange with that, I want you to just feel this. What would happen if that had like an orange, rust-colored couch in it, say? Something with the orange shades in it. What would that do to the blue for you?
It would probably calm it down, but also make it pop more, make other things pop more.
So one of the things with the complementary colors is I find, well, for instance, I'm going to put you on the spot, Preston. What color do you dislike?
Dislike?
Yeah.
I don't like muted colors.
You don't like muted colors. Okay.
Specific? Gray, like muted gray, and swamp green.
Okay, so the colors you dislike are the places where the learning is.
Oh, wow.
So, do you have a
preference?
Yeah, something against gray.
Gray's too plain and blasé. Like, and we're so woohoo. You know, I mean, a light gray is fine, but. Like
a dreary gray?
It feels gloomy.
Okay, so you have a judgment about gray, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
So what it is to look at what is that judgment? Because you could just say, gray's a color that some people like, and, you know, that's fine. I just don't happen to choose that for myself. But see, there's something else there. There's something more to it because it feels dreary to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just something to look at because it tells you that there's something behind it. Otherwise, you know, anything that we have sort of a charge on, or that we have a judgment about, or that we have a dislike about,
right?
Uh-huh.
Is always the place that we need to look. So, you know, when I talk to people, I'll ask them what the color is that they dislike. And one of the colors that I used to dislike was yellow. Well, yellow is about empowerment and feeling good about yourself and feeling like you really know what you're doing and that you're capable, you know. Well, I had a little bit to learn about that.
So what does gray mean?
Well, gray to me is a combination of colors. So black is the one that most people think that they don't like, you know, but black for me, if you think of taking all your paints and mixing them together, all those pigments together make black.
Right.
So my interpretation of black is that it's all the possibilities in this realm, in this life.
Mm. Really?
That makes
sense. Wow. See, that's not what I think of.
No.
I think of black.
I know. See,
lots of people, especially me, I don't like to wear lots of black. I think black is great with colors, but it's all black.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
It's heavy.
It's heavy.
And it feels very depressing at times.
But black is also the color of transformation. And so for some people, they find black difficult. But if they really understand, you know, in my color cards, for instance, on the black, for the lesson portion, it's embrace the possibilities, banish fear. And so when you're going through transformation, if you embrace all the possibilities, you open up to it, and you banish the fear that of change, then the other side of the strength of it is that you're more focused, you're in a transforming process, and you're full of potential because now you've opened yourself up to all kinds of new possibilities.
Wow.
Because every color is in there, so all the possibilities are in black.
You're right.
And then white, if you think of white as white light, that's all the possibilities of spirit.
Wow.
So when you bring black and white together, it's the best of spirit and the best of the
material,
of the physical world. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So now, if you think of gray, you've just taken black and you've added some white to it, and you've mixed those together. So conceivably, it could be muted. Yes, it could be. It could mean that the possibilities that are in the physical world have now been not watered down, but you know they're not as stark in front of you. But it might be that part of the reason for that is because you've allowed spirit to come in and be part of that.
Hmm.
Well,
wow.
I didn't even think about it that way.
No, we for a while, had really against black and didn't want to wear like a full article of clothing as black, but see, if it's black and it had color in it, then that was fine because it was like a base. And so that's fine. I think just like with gray and stuff, as long as it's like say gray socks or just a small gray article of clothing mixed with a different color,
it's
perfectly fine. It's just a gray room, I wouldn't want to be in at all. Or a gray shirt, you know?
So, you know, one of the things that you might consider is that when people are going through certain things, let's say they're going through something that's very difficult, maybe they don't need a lot of color. You know, maybe they need a place that feels like it doesn't have a lot of stimulation in it because they need a time of rest or they need a time of checking out from things for a while. Now, if they stay there and they allow themselves to, you know, go into the mind going round and round and that kind of thing, that can take you into a vibration of depression.
Right.
But gray doesn't have to be depression. Gray could be a timeout, and sometimes that's an important thing.
Wow.
Wow. This gives you a whole new look on
color.
Yeah.
Now, I've been wanting to ask this for a long time. What does a person's favorite color mean?
The favorite color is something they have developed as a strength, and in most cases, it's part of their life purpose. So what's your favorite color?
My favorite color? I have three favorite colors.
Okay.
Blue, red, and green.
Okay. So blue is my favorite, too, and blue is about expression. And I came into this world to take complicated ideas, bring them into a simple form, and then create effective ways for people to use them. That's the kind of expression. And so, and I've done writing, you know, and that's part of expression. So blue is the color for me that I have developed, and it's one of my strengths, and it's also part of why I'm in this world. So the same thing is true of you, Preston. There, you do your art, and you do your counseling with people, and all of that is part of an expression that you have, that you do really well, because you have a lot of feedback from people about that. And at the same time, that's why you're here, at least one of the reasons that you're here. Now, the green is the heart color, and it's the heart color of emotion, I think, in a way. It's like people can have heart hurts. And don't a lot of people come to you, Preston, that have heart hurts? And see, what part of what you're doing is helping them to heal that. And that's part of your why you're here.
Cool. Wow. That's cool. Yeah. And the red is my passion for life. When mixed with
yeah, green. And see, and then the red and green go together. So the red means that also that you're very independent, and that you know, I know you'll never go work for somebody in a job.
No. Nothing against it, but
no. It's not my energy.
Yeah. But what the thing is that even if you at some point chose to do that, you would only do it if you could go and work for someone who totally gets that you're a self-starter, you have good ideas, and that you would be honored for that energy that's in you.
Right.
Because that's
right.
Part of who you are.
Exactly.
And that's the red.
I also really love purple.
Yeah, and purple is your intuition. Purple is your ability to use the third eye. It's your ability to know what you know and trust that.
Mm-hmm. Now, once you have a love and respect for all the colors, does that mean that your life is coming into full balance?
I would think that was a good indication.
Yeah.
Because you know that when there's any time in our life where we can say, I really don't have judgment for anything, that nothing that comes along causes me to go into that place of saying, you know, that what's happened is you become really comfortable in your own skin, that you really come into a kind of understanding of who you are and what you're about. And it doesn't mean that there aren't times that things bother us, but when we come to this point, it's like it only takes us a couple seconds to know that something's up, because, you know, the energy is sort of like it's not flowing. And so then you take time to go in and say, okay, what's that about? And it doesn't take too long to clear that up. But, I mean, for some of us like me, it's taken a lot of years to get there, and some like you, Preston, come in with less baggage than some of the rest of us have had. And you don't have as much to work through. And you can thank the rest of us, because we've created an energetic pathway.
Yeah. Thank you. That's what someone else said, too. They said, we held the doors for you guys.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean there aren't tough times for you, but it means that you have had a lot of help in seeing how to work with what comes up, and you came in knowing it. See, I spent many years not even being aware of what I know. Okay. And that's, you know, life can be tough when you don't realize that you have intuition, or you don't realize how much help you have. And I spent a lot of time being a part of the religious community, which was helpful to me, you know. But eventually that became it didn't take me where I needed to go. And so then I began to seek something beyond that, and that's when I found my mentor. But you know, when you come in and you remember this stuff, at least you have something to work with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and also what I get really strong, me and Mom get, is once you can look back at your life and say, I don't regret a thing, then you're truly ready, you know?
Yeah.
Because you realize everything that happened was for a reason and that it made you who you are today, you know?
And I tell people, maybe there would have been a straighter path, but that's okay. You know, every side path ends up being something that we add to our understanding of what it is to be human and who we are and what we're about, and then we eventually find our way back. Now, the concern I have is for some of those who really get caught, and they seem to not be able to find their way back. And that's part of the work that I do, where I combine the counseling with the color, because I find that people can become so caught in a part of them that has a certain emotion, or a lot of times it's a certain age. And let's say they're caught in an emotion that's as an 8-year-old. Well, they spend their life looking through the eyes of an 8-year-old and then wondering why they're scared, why they don't feel capable of living their life. Well, could an 8-year-old live your life?
I think so.
You know, and so it takes then some help from the outside to help work with this part of them, so that it can begin to get the fear level down. And it's one of the things that color does. See, in this first one that I call De-Stress Through the Power of Color, what we're doing there is helping to bring the fear level down. Because if you're in so much fear, I've had people that I've worked with that were in so much fear, it's like they're in a walled-off fortress.
Right.
And trying to get to them is major, you know. So when I found that through color, it could take some of that fear down, then you have an opportunity to work with the part that's so scared. And one of the things I do in this therapy is show people that we have both masculine and feminine inside of us.
Right.
And so the little kid that maybe shows up as an 8-year-old, maybe it shows up as a little boy, well, there's a little girl that's the same age. And when you connect those two, it's another way to take the fear level down. So what I'm teaching people are some really simple techniques that can help them. And then the reason I'm doing this as a training course is because I want to train some other people to do what I do. You know, I'm only one person.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what has been brought to me through my life and experiences, and because this is what I was here to do, has shown me that it's very effective. And of course, the universe always brings you something if you're not getting it. So recently, a woman came into my life who needed my help, and in the process of working with her, it's like, ding dong, this really works.
Yeah.
And you need to be training other people. And it's not that I haven't done the training in the past, but I have never in it before combined the color and the counseling technique.
Mm.
So that's what I'm up to.
Yeah. And now I love to remind everybody, now we don't have to do anything that we don't desire to do, and we can allow it to be easy. We can ask for all our lessons to be easy and smoothly and effortless. Because, like I tell people a lot, sometimes, you know, the angels try to get you to learn a lesson and get your attention. So they tap you on the shoulder. You go, hey. You tap on the shoulder again, you go, wah. Tap the shoulder again, you go, wah. All of a sudden, break! Ah! What? And it's like, oh, you finally get my attention, you know? So you go, okay, angels, I understand. Let it be easy and effortlessly. Just the tap on the shoulder. And I go, yes, I understand. You know?
I'll get it.
So, yeah.
Well, some of us are more stubborn than others.
Yeah. For the people who do want to allow it to be easy.
Well, and the other thing that, you know, this woman that I'm working with, one of her issues is feeling alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said to her, well, you drew me to you.
No. There you go. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, you know, she's obviously ready, or we wouldn't have been in the same place at the same time. It wouldn't have come up, you know, and it wouldn't have flowed the way it did. So
exactly.
It was the right time and the right message for both of us.
Yep, divinely guided.
Yes. So So yes, I think it can be easier, but Preston, I do find that there's some light workers who have gotten caught in addictions, who have gotten caught in some of them have gone into a religious misunderstanding. And what happens sometimes when people have addictions is they leave the door open for other entities to come into their field. And sometimes it's not because the entity intended to be there, but it's like when you create an open door, it's like... And
oh, yeah. Like a vacuum. Yeah. That's why we don't do that stuff, but that's okay.
Yeah, but that's where I think we can help some of these who have gotten caught in that, and depression is another. I mean that is another place that people get caught in. It's like they're in a deep well, and they don't know how they're going to get out of there, and so part of what I think we have to do. This is one of my long-term visions, is to train people, because my training takes people through levels. This first level that I'm starting with, and I have a course in Tacoma, Washington, and one in Vancouver, Washington, and eventually I'll have it online so you can take it online. But they can be trained at level one, and level one can just be for yourself, you know, to learn how to de-stress your life. Or level one can be something that you can add to what you're already doing. Let's say you're a massage therapist and you want to work with color. So level one is just for everybody. When you get to level two and level three in this work, what you're doing is getting into the counseling techniques, and that takes you deeper into the core issues. And level four takes you into the next set of colors, which are part of the process of what we're doing, where we're raising our vibration and we're becoming new humans. And then the next four are advanced training courses where you use all the tools, for instance, in relationships. How do you apply it to relationships? And the person who goes through the whole thing becomes a master trainer. And what I want to do is to take this and have people trained in this and eventually set up centers that are training centers, but they're also healing centers. And these are places where people who have these deep-seated emotions have been caught in these areas, and especially I work with the light workers, and I only mean those who signed up to be headlights, who are here to show the way.
Preston likes to say, what did you say?
Lighthouses.
Yeah. and those seem to be the ones that I'm meant to work with the most, and I want to set up centers where it's a live-in situation, and it can be anywhere from 6 weeks to 3 months. I think in 3 months, with a person committed to the process and believing that there's something here that will help them, that we can get them to the place where they can reclaim their beautiful, amazing self,
right,
and be able to live that on a day-to-day basis. And that's what I hope to do with this.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a really great.
So, you know, if any of your listeners are interested in talking to me about this, I would love to talk with them.
Oh, yeah. If you're interested in talking with Arlene and having an amazing session, you can call toll-free at 1-877-607-0350. That's 1-877-607-0350. Or visit her phenomenal website at transformationaltools.com. That's transformationaltools.com. Or just
you
put
can
Arlene
email
on.
Me.
Oh, yeah, you can.
At Arlene at transformationaltools.
Yes, you can email her at arlene@transformationaltools.com.
And if anybody just puts Arlene Arnold in the search,
yeah, exactly,
they'll find me. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we got a bit more time.
Okay.
So, speaking of, you were talking about some of the changes that you've seen with people who's experienced using color this way. So tell us about how some of the changes that you've seen with people who experience color this way.
Well, some things are pretty fast. You know, some of it depends on how much work people have already done.
Right. Yeah, right.
I find that a lot of times the work I do is sort of what I call finishing work, or it's ones who have just awakened to their path and things are coming at them really fast.
Yeah.
And those are people that I work with. And what I find is that the biggest thing that I'm here to do is to help people remember who they are and that all the information they need is inside.
Uh-huh.
And what we have to do is clear away the overlays of beliefs and emotions and things like that so we can get to what's inside. And I really help people find and trust that inner voice so they can make the connection to their own soul and begin to trust that. Because over the time, I've done this for about 12 years now, and what I found is that it's so important now for people to understand that it's no longer a time of gurus.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got that right.
Oh,
yeah. It's,
mm-hmm.
You know, we have got to stop that, thinking mm-hmm. that somebody else has all the answers.
Right.
Exactly.
And what we want to do is find better and better ways to find the answers for ourselves. It's always nice to have other people on the journey who confirm what we already know. I mean, I think that's how we learn to have trust in what we know. But to put ourselves in the hands of someone else without staying responsible for ourselves, I think is a huge mistake.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
definitely.
So, you know, part of what I see with the people that I work with is they gain greater confidence in their own ability to know, and they begin to realize that they have to make the choices in their life, and they have to stop giving their energy away.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, and then the more that they do that, the more that they can be the light beings that they came here to be, and then the more people that are around that, it's just a beautiful divine wave that goes out.
Yes, and the other thing is, the more that we clean up our energy field, the more we can attract what we really want.
Exactly.
Oh, true.
Because you know, at one point in my life, I realized that one of the things that I was doing was I had, it's sort of like, kick me signs.
Yeah.
It was the sign said, I have a fun little playful little child side of me, you know. But I spent too much of my life with that child sitting out in the outer part of my energy field, and it had like a sign on it that says, "Oh, take care of me or take advantage of me."
Yeah,
so,
right.
What did I attract? People that would take care of me or take advantage of me.
Exactly.
So when I realized that, I said, wait a minute, you don't belong out there. You belong inside my heart. You come here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I have one last question. Well, maybe one last question, because how much time we have. What would you suggest? What color would you suggest for someone who wants to bring their inner child more, embrace their inner child more, instead of stuff it down a well?
You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you what I wrote for one of the cards that's in the luminary, and it's called Love Child, and this is a little bit of what I was just talking about. But to me, this is that playful, just such a beautiful child we have inside of us, but we have to take care of that child.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I said. This is what came through me as for this mandala art that's Love Child. Protect your innocence with your discernment that knows what is safe and what is not, that knows what is healthy and what is not, that knows when others are helpful and when they are not. Then wrap seriousness in cotton candy while you explore the world with childlike wonder.
Oh.
And then additionally, what I got was prepare the way for Love Child by bringing home the innocent child self that has been so buffeted by life's experiences. Remove the sign it carries that says to those around, take advantage of me. Yeah. Take responsibility for life through your discernment and through your choices, so that this little one feels safe within your nurturing strength. love child may then tiptoe in, spreading its peace and harmony like warm honey, sweetening the most painful emotions, surrounding and healing wounds too deep to fathom, gathering all to infinite source. Living from the strength of innocence means accepting self and others, even while being judged, choosing from infinite possibilities without restrictions, and living with no expected outcomes. All is given and received without strings attached, a gift of love. And the colors in this love child are shades of pink, and there's light green in there.
Wow.
It's just a beautiful thing. And then in applying this, this is the part I wanted to share because this is the really fun part. So the way to apply this in your life is eat the frosting first. Walk barefoot in the grass. Jump rope for fun. Blow bubbles. Write to a friend just because. Choose a new color to wear. Draw hearts with a pink crayon. Listen to the birds. Wear something fun for dinner at home. Play dress up with a special child. Play touch football. Carve something with a jackknife. Drink Kool-Aid. Remember your best day as a child. So that's, to me, that's the critical part of the innocent child within us, is that we take responsibility to make it a safe place for that child.
Wow.
That's
powerful.
Very powerful. It makes a lot. It just goes bing, 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 bing.
Yeah. And, you know, so many of the things in here are things that I've experienced or experienced through other people or whatever. And so it's all, you know, it's all a part of the fabric of the whole. And, you know, I just value all of the many of your listeners that are out there doing their piece of the puzzle, because if they weren't, there'd be something lacking, you know.
Exactly. And
we need every single person to do the work to come home to themselves so that they can be here and show up exactly the way they intended to.
And I would like to say that I'm grateful that you're on this planet, because every time I talk to you, it's like I never wanted to end. You have amazing wisdom.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure. Believe me.
You're welcome. Exactly. Well, I think it'd be fun to have you on again and you know, have someone, like when you did that amazing reading for me, have people experience that. That just...
Something else to tell them is that there's a free... I do a free mini color card reading on my website if they'd like to go and just submit a question. And it just gives them a chance to see the power of the tools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have them and we love them.
Awesome.
Okay. I just want to leave with one message, which I really got was really important when you said that. We got a message from the angels, and they said one of the wonderful, most wonderful things about life is that you're on this planet.
Oh,
and
wow.
I just thought everybody should hear that, because
absolutely,
we all appreciate you.
Yes. And it's all time to stand up and be the light we came here to be.
Joyfully.
Yeah.
With,
allow it to be easy.
With divine freedom.
And we need to be fully present. You know?
You've got it.
Exactly. Okay. Well, that's all the time we have. It was so much fun having you on. And very insightful and wonderful.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome. I will love to have you on again and answer some more questions.
Good.
Okay. Have a wonderful day.
Blessings.
You too. Bye, Arlene.
Thank you, Arlene.
Bye for now.
And thank you all the wonderful viewers that came on to listen. We really appreciate all the time. Remember, before we leave, one last thing. Starting September 1st, our time is moving from here to Saturday at 6:30 to 7:30. This is going to be really wonderful. Anyways, have a wonderful day. Remember, make it a great day. Allow it to be. Bye now.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Mwah.
Long way to go, like a don't know if I can breathe a cell at night without your love. We follow in the footsteps, whatever wrong or right. Gotta get some rest and let's stay here overnight. This paradise is a big enough occasion. Enough to be true, putting in the words all the ways that I want you. You know I do. This road will make me crazy. This road will take me home. Lying in my body, staring at the skies above. It's not enough. Without your love, the night's falling down. I could rest here for a while, and darkness brings me dreams of you and me and those wild, wild nights. And I don't know if I can breathe this air tonight without your. Can breathe this air tonight without your.